Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We heard in that song these words that Jesus says from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? These are words that those of you who know this story, they're familiar words, aren't they? We also heard these words a bit earlier in the service as well. They're the opening words of Psalm 22. These are the words that David cried out to God in his prayer that was written 1,000 years before Jesus. He cried out because he felt absolutely forsaken. He was in a horrible mess. Everything had gone so horribly wrong. And where was God in all this? If we read all four Gospels, and we read Jesus' death on the cross in all four Gospels, we have Jesus saying seven different things. These are often referred to as the seven words that Jesus says from the cross. Did you know that in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's Gospel, he only says one thing when he's on the cross? And that is this. There's the two references. I would encourage you to go and have a look at all four Gospels, at just at Jesus' death. It'll be highlighted there. And this can be a little easier for you if you have one of those red letter Bibles. Do you know the red letter Bibles where Jesus' words are in red? I do have some problem with them at times, but that's not this morning's topic. But it's real easy to go look at the red bits for when Jesus is on the cross. You will see the three things that Luke reports and the three things that John reports. They're both different. But neither of them report this. But Mark and Matthew both have this statement. What is going on here? This is Jesus on the cross, and he feels totally forsaken. This isn't just someone just saying these words. You've got to see the depth of emotion, the depth of pain, the depth of suffering that is in these words. And then we need to also wrap our heads around, this isn't just some Jewish peasant dying on a cross saying these words. You and I, we've been in places where we feel crushed, where we feel forsaken. We can see that sometimes the mess we're in, this hopelessness we're in, is of our own doing. Sometimes it's other people, isn't it? And we cry out. But this man who is saying this is Jesus. He's the Messiah. This is the one who fed 5,000 people. This is the one, and we heard a lot about this last night, different things. The one who stopped the storm, as Layla pointed out last night. The one who did mighty miracles, who cast demons out. This is the one who is God made flesh. How can we wrap our heads around God the Son saying that he is forsaken by God the Father? How do you wrap your heads around that? What is happening? We have, all of us, I imagine, I hope you haven't, but if not all, many of us have been in a state where we feel forsaken, where we feel that friends, family, loved ones have let us down, that the world has let us down, and that we are in a pit. This may not be a pit that we're in by ourselves. We may be in it with our husband, our wife, we may be in it with our whole family, that we feel that the whole world is turned against us and our family. We feel forsaken. We feel that those who should have been there for us aren't there. What we see happening on the cross is that we see that our God, the God of the Bible, is someone who understands the depths of those emotions. He understands how hurt we can feel. He can understand that suffering that we're going through. It's not just something we're imagining. It really feels like the darkness is caving in on us. And as I said, if you haven't been in those places, lucky you, they're not places you would wish on your worst enemy, are they? They are not good places. Yet our Lord Jesus loved us so much that he willingly went to the cross. That's something we've been talking about. We're not talking about some upstart preacher in the outback of the Roman Empire came up with a good idea. Romans got upset with him and so killed him. This is one who chose. Remember the power that he has. Think of the miracles he has did. Just a week earlier, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Oh, probably 2 weeks earlier. By now, that's the sort of power he has. Yet he's willingly gone to the cross. Why? Why is he suffering like this? What is going on? We need to check out other parts of Scripture. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our salvation, our rescue, involved someone who had no sin to be sin. Notice that strong statement Paul uses there. He doesn't just say to have the sin put on him, but to become it. Now start to think about that. God is the holiest thing that there is. The very definition, you could say, of God is to be not sin. It's the opposite. It is like to say that the light became darkness. How could that? It's not light. This gives us a bit of a glimpse that what Jesus is saying on the cross is not just physical pain. It is. That was not a pleasant death. He is suffering excruciating physical pain. He's going through emotional and mental anguish. But I wanted to suggest to you that there is another whole dimension of things going on while he's up there on the cross. He is having your sin, he's having my sin, he's having all of humanity's sin, past, present, and future, not just placed on him, but he is becoming it. He is taking it on because that is the way he will defeat it. That's the way he will conquer it. Yet at the same time, he is God. We see in the Old Testament many times God talking about how much he abhors sin. Sin is our rebellion against God, our desire to do it in our own way, which then results in behavior that is not God-like. When we turn our backs on someone, when we turn our backs on a relationship, we tend to take on the opposite. You know, we do that in our human relationships. Often, if we have a relationship with a person and that relationship ends, the next person will be different. We turn our backs, and thus we find that we are lying, that we are obsessed with greed of having stuff. We can't have our relationship with God, so we'll fill ourselves with stuff. And the stuff I got, well, you've got better stuff, so I'm going to take your stuff. We're going to always want stuff. We're going to treat people like they are objects. We're not going to be seeking out relationships. This is how the sin starts to infest and spread. It can be start off with just little things of, oh, I haven't had my turn, I better have my turn. To suddenly get, why should anyone else ever have a turn? It's all about me and looking after me. Sin is a horrendous thing. And our Lord Jesus became it. Can you understand the cosmic nature of what is going on here? If you even just have a glimpse of the Trinity and you try to work out how this fits in, it will give you serious migraines. This is a period of time where I personally believe that our whole universe was at the brink of destruction because something happened that should never happen. For the sci-fi fans in here, it's like mixing matter and antimatter. You shouldn't do that. Big boom. This is a catastrophe going on, and Jesus is taking this all on himself. His connection to the Father, his connection to the Spirit is disrupted. He who has for eternity been with the Father and the Spirit. There's a disruption there because of this sin, and it's crushing Jesus. This is the very thing Jesus was saying in the garden on that night before. Father, come up with anything else but this. He knew how much this would hurt. Not just how much it would hurt physically, but how much it would hurt spiritually, what he was going to go through. And it's not just Paul that says it here. Oops, jumping too far. In Galatians, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He takes our place. He takes the punishment we are deserved. And as we heard when Henry read Isaiah 53, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is what's happening there on the cross. It's not just a death. There's cosmic levels of justice, of battle going on. The biggest spiritual warfare ever is going on up there on the cross. And Jesus is feeling it all. Why? Why? In Ephesians, this is a few sections basically put together from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. You can read the whole passage for yourself. Paul says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is the whole reason we call today Good Friday. It's what's happening behind the scenes of the cross. He is taking on our transgressions when not only couldn't we save ourselves, we were, what's Paul saying? What's our state? Dead. Have you noticed you don't tend to do a whole lot when you're dead? We may say something, you know, we might do something and say, oh, Aunt Mabel would turn in her grave if she knew that. But she doesn't, does she? We don't turn in our graves. We're dead, dusted. Sometimes I think we make a mistake of seeing that our salvation is like this sort of image. We're drowning. And we've all been in the situation where we felt like we're drowning. We're drowning. Jesus is there in the boat, reaching his hand out. And we're being encouraged to do what? To grab on. this is an image that is often used in Christian literature. In my youth, I probably used it as well, encouraging people to grab onto Jesus. Take what Jesus has to offer. But we are also missing the point of the cross. We are missing what Paul was just saying as that we read in Ephesians. We're not treading water, are we? What's our state? Dead. We're not treading water. We have drowned and we have sunk to the bottom in our sin. And our Lord Jesus dives in and comes and gets us. That is the good news, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God takes the action. God does the work. We were dead, and he will bring us back to life. There is that whole concept of resurrection here already when we're looking at Jesus being on the cross. He is taking our sin so that we might have his righteousness, and that's the way we get life. We who are dead in our transgressions receive life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good news of today. The good news that we have a God who loves us so much that he will go through this level of suffering. I invite you as you go from here into the rest of today and into the Saturday before the resurrection. That Saturday where Jesus is still in the ground. Remember those words from the cross. Remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember the lengths that our Lord Jesus has gone through for you, for me. How much he loves you. And if you want to know who the God of the Bible is, look at the cross. This God is one who loves his creation so much that he would not hold back the suffering that Jesus went through. He will do whatever it takes to save you. Remember our Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.